All right, hey there, friends. It's Larry here, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, recording show number 230. 230, recording it on June 17th, which is
Father's Day.
E is here in the studio, Father's Day. How are you celebrating Father's Day?
You're going to go see
Fantastic Four, right?
Going to see Fantastic Four, going to kind of,
because nothing says Father's Day like Jessica Alba in a onesie.
You know, I'm kind of wondering how much my son's going to pay attention to that. He's almost to that age where girls aren't icky anymore.
I'm not
really looking forward to that.
Right. And then, all right, happy Father's Day, everybody out there.
Yeah.
And it's Father's Day in various parts of the world, but...
Is Father's Day not one of those mostly globally recognized holidays? Or is it mostly an American thing?
Let me open up Wikipedia. I think I have it up in here on Wikipedia someplace. Looks like it's most places celebrated the third Sunday of June. There's areas like Poland, it's June 23rd, first Sunday of July, Dominican Republic, et cetera, et cetera.
Even though the dates change, most places recognize Father's Day.
Yes, yeah, okay. I think that's important to point out. So I don't see anything in here for like Japan. Oh, yeah, Japan, same thing. So,
yeah. Okay.
All right, so that's what's going on. So it's been a couple weeks since I've had you on.
Yeah, well, you went to do Pac-Man. I went to New York for...
Pac-Man, that was the biggest... That's the biggest video game announcement ever, wasn't it?
Well,
or so some people said.
Yes, it was big. I don't think it was quite that big.
Right.
But
I talked about this last week. I thought it was interesting how a lot of people kind of weren't really into the Pac-Man thing, and then they started playing it, and they realized it's actually kind of a good game.
Yeah, which is cool. We need more games like that, I think.
We need more good games?
I like having more kind of simple pick-up-and-play for a few minute, put-down kind of games. Because there's times when that's what I want to do.
I tried doing that the other night with the new demo of Project Silphied.
Yeah.
That's not what that is.
You know what?
I got to tell you this, because for those people that don't know this, if you listen to the show for a while, you may have picked up on this. But the first mission, have you played it at all?
I have not. I've played the game that started Silphied way back in the day.
Right.
It was part of why I dropped out of college, actually. But I haven't played the new one yet.
So the new one, the mission that you play is your favorite. What's your favorite type of mission?
Oh, no. It's an escort mission. Oh, God.
He loves escort missions.
Wow.
So that's what the first section.
Okay. I can already tell they've totally ruined what I used to love. I still have great memories of playing that on my, clone PC, 5 1/4 inch floppy, EGA monitor.
It's only the demo.
Oh, boy.
But you went to New York. You were in New York. We missed each other by a day. Well, I ended up spending the night at Denver Airport, which was
awesome.
Gross. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, nothing like being out in the middle of nowhere with nothing to do.
Yeah, that was fun. And then, and all the stores and all the food places, they're closed. I figure such a major airport like Denver would have at least stuff open till like 11 or midnight.
Or all night, because Denver, there's planes coming in and out of that airport.
Yeah.
There's sound issues, because it's like an hour outside of the city.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
I think they told me there's one restaurant that's open, but it's like a bar restaurant. And it's one of those ones that, even though Denver Airport's fairly new, it looks like it hasn't been, this particular place has been open all night and so forth. It looks like it hasn't been updated since like the 70s. It's one of those
awesome places. Yeah.
So anyway, but let's talk about gaming. What are you playing?
Actually, because I was traveling, I've been playing a lot of DS.
Right.
Put a lot of time into Castlevania Portrait of Ruin while I was in the air.
Okay.
Castlevania is just, that's perfect portable gameplay.
Right, so you had fun with that.
So played a lot of that. Jammed in a lot of Halo 3 right before I left, because the beta actually ended while I was in New York.
Yeah, you missed the last night. When I got back, I played Saturday night for a little while. I played Sunday night for a little while. It was fun.
Yeah.
But we'll miss you, Halo 3, but you'll be back.
You'll be back September 25th, I think is
what they're telling us, yes.
Spent a lot of time just watching, going to an MLG event. Major League Gaming.
It was up in the Meadowlands.
At the Meadowlands, which was New Jersey's interesting.
Did you watch the final episode of The Sopranos in New Jersey?
I didn't watch. So as much of a Sopranos fan as I used to be,
right?
They lost me.
Really? What happened?
The 18-month break. Because I think it was season 4, ended with a whole bunch of plot threads, very complicated. And by the time the next season started, I had forgotten everything. And I wasn't interested enough to go back and rewatch it So I watched the first episode of the new season, realized I had no idea what was going on, and just didn't care anymore.
Yeah, I actually really get pissed off at HBO because they've taken it upon themselves to redefine the season. And you're right. I mean, they take an 18-month hiatus, a year and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, let's put it this way. When The Sopranos started in 1999, I still lived on the East Coast and was working in radio.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you look at it, you're like, whoa, that's a long time ago.
Yeah. I was a huge fan. I've got the first three seasons on DVD, but I just, I couldn't hold my interest.
The last episode, Sunday night, was just, it's like, it's one of those things that shook you by your shirt collar, and you're like, what did I just watch?
Yeah, I've seen all the discussion. I've heard people talking about it in the hallway, and people VM'd me about it.
Right.
And, you kind of feel like you just slept through something really important.
Right.
Or, like, there was just a huge natural disaster, and you missed it because you were, asleep or something.
Nope. So that's the way it ended. So Sopranos said. But anyway, so you're in New York.
You were in
New Jersey for the MLG.
Stayed in New York, and then just took the bus out to Meadowlands for the day for MLG. Went on Saturday, which is when most of the 4v4 happens. So watched a ton of Halo 2, a fair amount of Rainbow Six Vegas, and it was amazing. It felt like being at a real sporting event.
Right.
And
plus you're at the Meadowlands, which is...
It's the Meadowlands Expo Center.
Right, but
which
still.
Is in between a couple of hotels. It's not really
the
Meadowlands. But just the level of gameplay. I mean, I play a lot of Halo 2. And last time I looked, I think lifetime I've played like 6,000 or 7,000 games. Something
You do play a lot.
But, I mean, okay, I'm a good player. I'm not great. I have some friends who are really, really good, including a friend who was competing, mm-hmm. one of the reasons I went. But the top players, Final Boss, Carbon, Straight Rippin, people like that, they're playing a different game than the rest of us. It's mind-boggling how good these people are.
Yeah.
I was just flabbergasted.
Yeah, and actually Trixie was in town earlier in the week for World Series of Gaming. She was in for another event.
WSVG?
Yeah, that's it.
World Series of Video Games.
Yeah, she was actually... I'm surprised she hasn't come in, because usually she swings by when you're in here. She sees you in the office and, like, pokes her head in.
Yeah, she gets jealous.
Yeah. Right. But that was the weekend before. That's why I got all confused. I'm like, you're going in for this event, she's going for the other event. Aren't they the same event? Well, no, they're not.
No.
They just happen to be a few days.
Competing leagues, different games they play.
Right.
So. Like, MLG is console only. Or at least, as far as I know, it's console only. The only games I saw played were Gears, Rainbow Six Vegas, and Halo. And WSVG, I think, does PC and console.
You missed the community event we did at the Marriott Marquis.
I did.
It was fun.
It sounded like fun, actually.
We had a bunch of people down. We spent a lot of PR's money, which is always fun.
That's always good.
They slapped down the card. John and Sarah from the Gamerscore blog were there, and myself was there, and Trixie was there. We just had a great time. We hung out for... God, it must have been a couple hours. Just
that would have been fun.
A couple guys from Joystick came down. Everybody was there.
So we did get, actually, Sarah played tour guide for us on Sunday.
Sarah Dirty Diva.
Yes. So and
look at this. As if on cue.
We have a guest.
We were just talking about you went to New York. You went to New York.
Yeah.
And
you went to New York.
I went to New York. But you were in New York for what? Yeah, let's... Where were you in New York?
I was in New York for the World Cyber Games U.S. Open, and...
How do you know when to come in here? It's like we were just talking about you. Like, I bet you she's going to show up. It's like you've got this female sixth sense. First of all, before I forget, I have to go on record.
Okay.
And apologize.
Yeah.
Last time you were on the show...
You were a dick to me.
I was... You and a few of the listeners claimed that I was unfair, and I have to apologize if I was unfair.
You were. You were... Big poop head.
Wait,
give me the mic for a second.
So
you're not actually apologizing. You're apologizing if you were unfair. So basically that's like saying, I don't think I did anything wrong.
You've been reading the forums too long.
I'm just saying that's not really an apology. So.
Are you going to continue to kick me in the you-know-where like Penny Arcade says?
No.
So I am sorry.
I accept your apology. Thank you. But, you know, all you listeners out there, I don't think he would have publicly apologized if that sweet kid from the UK hadn't and also said that you were mean to me.
Was that...
Pac-Man. James.
Oh, James. Who I think that the Xbox 360 or the joystick guys hit a nail on the head. He had this Charlie Bucket-esque...
He was a little Charlie Burp.
So James, you were great.
Burp, Charlie Burp.
And I'm sorry that I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to get you on the show, but you were great. Anyway, so
he's
you were in New York the weekend before.
I was in New York. Yes, World Cyber Games U.S. Open. It was very exciting. I don't know if any of you guys out there watch so-called esports. I know it sounds stupid and dumb, like watching other people play games, but it's very fun, especially team games like Gears of War.
He was just saying that.
Yeah.
Because he was out at the other event.
If you get a chance to watch Mob Turtle Beach in action, they are really fun to watch. Just because the mob godfather paces behind them and goes like, come on, baby, we came here to win. He's a good...
Yes, I interviewed him at CES. You have some videos up on Xbox.com,
too. I do.
And then you and I, of course, I talked about this last week, but we did a ton of videos for Pac-Man.
Yeah, you did a ton of videos for Pac-Man.
Well, you were working, too. You were writing words.
Waka, waka, waka.
Yeah, thank you, E. What else you got going on? What brings you by?
I
have to be extra nice to you since I was so extra mean to you last week.
Yeah, and let's be clear. You invited me in here, so all you haters out there who are accusing me of coming in and, like, busting the major chops.
I said I'm going to be recording it with E if you want to swing by, but your
exactly.
timing is impeccable.
As always.
So, but...
Shut
thank
up, you.
E. What do you got?
That was a shin I just kicked. It wasn't the you-know-what.
What else you got going on?
Well, I have a new editorial assistant at Xbox.com named KP.
Okay, why do my listeners care about that?
They care about KP because...
And I'm not being mean, I'm just asking.
Because I stole him from Bungie.
Oh, okay.
And they probably know him from Bungie.net.
Oh, they
right?
do?
Eric, wouldn't you say the same thing?
They would know him from Bungie.net.
Okay.
See?
Okay.
Stupid. And there's a gamer spotlight on him.
why I'm asking here?
Okay, like that wasn't a snotty question. Why do my listeners care about that?
Well, they're probably, people were asking. They're listening to that, and they're probably saying with their headphones on, going, "Why do I care about that?" And you explained it.
Oh, okay.
See?
Uh huh.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, hang on.
Well, he's probably better known for he was the guy who played Halo 2 with a Guitar Hero controller with me, so. You know, he did all the stories and everything on Bungie.net.
Right.
You know, but he played Halo 2 Guitar Hero with
okay.
me.
Well, welcome aboard to him. So, that's good to know.
That's his claim to fame, is he did something with you.
What are you playing for games? Let's get back to gaming. What are you playing for games?
I've been playing Guitar Hero.
Still?
Yeah, because I really want to be able to five-star all the songs on Easy. I finished Easy, but I want to five-star them all. And I got perfect on Can't You Hear Me Knockin'. Thank you.
Nice work. Very good. Very good. Very good.
I'm a Rolling Stone. Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I've been playing, really. I haven't been playing a lot. It's been a super busy week.
Well, you've been busy. Yeah, we all.
It's been nuts. I was here until 9:30 last night.
Well, that sucks.
It did suck.
That sucks. All right.
Mm-hmm. That's all I got for you.
That's all. Well, you can come back later if you'd like.
Is she gonna kick me again?
I don't know. She's.
If you're lucky.
All right. So.
All right.
Hey, actually, I want to talk about this. We're going to talk about the King of Kong.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my
so
God.
You're going to see this movie.
I know. You told me I had
You're going to see this
but
movie.
But E's got it right now.
Yeah, E's got it right now.
Okay. Well, give it to me when you're done.
This is E's. How far are you through with this movie? All right. I'll talk to you later. What were you doing?
That's what I get for turning my back on her. I'm sitting here minding my own business. I was looking at my laptop for a second. All of a sudden, wow.
Yeah. Well, that's the way she rolls. But anyway, let's talk about The King of Kong. You're watching it? Or did you finish it?
I think I'm almost done.
Okay, I don't want to.
I caught like the first.
I talked about this.
Hour in,
yeah, I talked about this last week on my show, and I said, "E, you have to watch this movie.
It's
coming out. It's really cool." So we'll talk about it more after you're all done with it. But I've got a couple of interviews this week.
Wait. You got to at least tell people what it is.
Well, I talked about it last week on the show, so it is. Why don't you go ahead and maybe your description is going to be better than mine I gave last week.
So there's a group called Twin Galaxies,
mm-hmm.
and I know who they are. Hardcore video game geeks know who they are. Basically, they're the people who keep scores for classic arcade games. Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, that kind of thing.
Right.
They're like the Guinness Book of World Records for real arcade games.
And in fact, Walter, who runs it, was at the Pac-Man event last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was there.
Cool.
So anyway, go ahead.
So it basically, the movie follows the kind of the recent history of Donkey Kong high scores. And the back and forth between the various luminaries of Donkey Kong. And there's accusations of cheating, and there's some pretty interesting...
There's drama.
Yeah, there's a lot of personal drama. It's, I mean, to these people, it's a big deal. I mean, looking at the scores these people are getting, 900,000, a million on Donkey Kong, it's mind-blowing.
And I think it's important to note is that Billy Mitchell, who's known for Pac-Man, we saw him in New York, he's actually pivotal. He's one of the key players in this story because he also had the high score in Donkey Kong,
and he had it for years and years, and I think like 15 years, and then there's a back and forth going on recently, and that's kind of where the documentary centers.
Right.
It's really interesting, actually. So,
yeah, that's kind of cool. So we'll talk more about that. I don't want to talk any more about that because people are,
we don't want to ruin it for anyone who's going to see it.
Right. So anyway, so I've got two interviews this week. I guess three if you want to count Trixie.
Let's not count Trixie.
All right.
She was mean.
Now I'm going to get kicked in the you-know-whats because everyone's going to say I'm being mean to her.
You're going to get virtually kicked. I was physically kicked.
Right. All right, that's a good point. So I've got Shadowrun and Tenchu Z, the guys from Tenchu Z, Dwayne, who worked on Tenchu Z, and Mitch, who, you know Mitch.
Mitch from FASA.
Yep. Mitch from FASA. So I actually do something very interesting to him in the interview. So, let's go ahead and roll the one on Tenchu Z. Tenchu Z is out in stores now. How would you describe this game, E?
Ninjas.
All right, I'm here with Dwayne Colbert. Dwayne is the man who's working on Tenchu Z. Hi, Dwayne.
Hey, how you doing?
I want to say Colbert because that's the way your name is spelled. And
yeah, it's
pronounced.
Not the official report, but it's really the true pronunciation.
So you're true Colbert. All right.
That's right.
And your gamer tag is?
Liquid Dueno.
Liquid Dueno, which
yeah,
is
a little play on like Liquid Dueno.
Right, Liquid Dueno. Yeah. Now, you're working on, you worked on Tenchu Z.
Yep.
And I want to talk about that. Explain to some folks what the game's about and what it's kind of the high level.
Sure, sure. So Tenchu Z is the latest in this series of Tenchu franchise games. I think it's the sixth, if I'm remembering correctly. And it's the first next-gen ninja title. Mm-hmm. And, people have heard about another ninja title over on PlayStation 3.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's more about action. Mm-hmm. And Tenchu Z, the thing that's always been popular for and continues to do really well, is stealth action. So really going to the roots of the ninja, you're playing in the shadows, you're doing stealth kills as opposed to hand-to-hand combat.
A lot of people have seen, this came out last week,
yep.
And some folks have seen the reviews, and there's some dings going on about the graphic quality. Let's tell me about that.
Sure,
because I play a little bit of it. I want to ask you, the man.
Yep, yeah, actually came out this week, mm-hmm. So just arriving in stores this week.
Okay.
And the demo came out last week.
Yep.
So the graphic quality, basically, it's really a developer choice on how they decided to design the game. So like the visual reference quality, they didn't really go for like a super realistic next-gen kind of look.
So it's a style.
It's a style, yeah.
I know a lot of people thought about the same thing when Crackdown came out because it was a cartoony, like, oh, this isn't real. And then once you realize, oh, wait a minute, this is the style.
Yeah. And if people really go back to like the Tenchu on the last gen and really play it, I did just for reference points. Like you look at that and that's like all... pixely and I'd encourage people to take a look at that just for visual comparison if they want to, but really this one is looking nice. It's not the reference quality visual by any means for the platform,
sure.
But the real cool part of this game is really the fun factor.
All right, so explain to me how this differs from some of the old Tenchu games.
Sure. So a couple of new things. There's a key meter, which is kind of like your essence. Basically is that what you monitor in the lower left-hand corner of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And you monitor three different things. You monitor if people can see you, if people can hear you, or if people can smell you.
So smell.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of the new one. People have kind of used to the stealth monitoring, visuals and sound. But the smell, there's a couple instances. So in the game that smell comes into play.
Okay.
There's cesspools that you can fall into by mistake that'll make you smell.
Certainly
you'll actually
make
have
you smell.
This kind of, Shrek-like green, smelly like
right.
visuals that you'll see. And there's also when you go in active combat, you'll get blood splattered on you. And that will actually dry and you'll start to smell. And basically, not only will...
I don't think I know what dry blood smells like.
I don't know either, actually. That's
I'm not a shark.
I don't think I want to know, actually.
Yeah, so.
But both the non-playable characters will detect that, but also animals, in particular dogs.
Ah.
They have a more keen sense of
sure.
smell. So anywhere you're near a dog, you might be able to sneak by them up on a roof or up on a fence if you didn't have that smell. But if you do... He's going to start barking, and of course, you're going to be found out then. And one of the key aspects to monitor in the game is the points that you get, because as you go through the missions, you're going to get gold.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point of gold I'll talk to in a second. But you'll actually get deducted points for the whole time that you're kind of in detection mode. There's flames that come up in the key meter. It's blue when they're aware of you but aren't actively engaging you, and it's kind of red fiery looking when they're actively engaging you. And every second that you're in that mode, this kind of active mode, you get deducted points. So okay. At the end, if you did 20 stealth kills, if you had all this time in this active mode, you're not going to get any points or any gold.
Right.
So
okay. That sounds interesting. So generally speaking, it's kind of a stealth game. Is it? Now, I've got some questions here that some folks have emailed me, and we'll sure. get to those in a minute. But for people that aren't familiar with the Tenchu franchise, what's the best way to kind of explain this game or kind of equate it to something they may be familiar with?
Okay. It's a classic ninja game. So people...
When I think ninja game, I think button masher.
Yeah, the thing is
for me.
Okay, so that's fair enough. So this game is actually very easy to control. It's okay. actually one button to take out your sword. Your primary weapon is your sword. You also have a host of ninja accessories that power up your abilities and kind of your special ninja powers. So this is kind of going back in the day of what true ninjas really are. Mm-hmm. And true ninjas are never seen or heard, and really they are... meant to not be detected at all.
Right.
They have a mission to do. They're kind of like heroes, so they're not negative in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to get rid of the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
So the key fun part about this game is you sneak around. You can pull up the map, and you can also use your ninja accessories to your benefit. So if you're sneaking up on someone and your end goal is to get the big master at the end, but you've got a couple of guards that you want to knock off beforehand,
right?
You can choose whether you want to knock them off or not in the first place.
Right.
Two, you can choose how you want to go about that. You can go up on a rooftop. You can swim through a river. You can...
So there's multiple paths.
Sneak around. Yeah, any really path. So
okay.
There's 50 missions in this game, and all of them are infinitely replayable because you can choose whatever route you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as you're going through and choosing how you're going to approach this, let's say you might want to sneak up on the back and do a classic stealth kill. There's a mark that comes on the screen, a circle of Japanese characters we call the Seal of Nine or a Ninja Seal, and that tells you you're able to do a stealth kill. You simply press a single button on the controller, and it performs this really cool kill. So it's not a button masher. It's really a single button push, but it's context sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come and approach them as you're crouching, you'll get one type of stealth kill. If you hop down from a roof on top of them, you'll get a second type of stealth kill. If you're running behind them, you may get a third kind of stealth kill. So what's really cool and interesting about this is the surprise of what kind of stealth kill you get based on how you interact and what situation you're in when you're approaching this enemy.
Right. Okay.
So that's kind of really cool, and it really is. I don't know if it's empowering, but it's certainly fun to kind of say, "Oh man, I can't believe I did that."
You know,
it's cool.
What's the online or what's the multiplayer experience like?
So multiplayer is actually really cool in this one as well.
Is it just a bunch of ninjas beating the snot out of each other?
No, it's not like your classic arena battle,
right.
Or Slayer type of multiplayer. It's really you're playing through exactly the same missions as single player mode, but you're bringing your friends in. So
it's co-op.
It's co-op or okay. versus. There's two modes.
Okay.
So you can do co-op where, let's say, you know where the boss guy is in mission 3 or whatever mm-hmm. whatever it is, and you want to sneak up around the left-hand side, and you tell your buddy over voice chat that you want to go on the right-hand side. You can actually come in and chokehold the guy from behind as your friend comes and runs the katana through him. So it's really a true co-op where you can't do that at all.
So you don't have to be connected and in the same space, and you're not rubber banded together.
Right. It's each one has their own experience, and then as you run into each other, you can press the map button and see where the other player is, and
right.
you can obviously chat about
communicate
it.
Communicate it.
But the other mode, the versus mode, is basically you have an end goal and you are competing to see who can get to that goal first, essentially. So, so if your goal is to follow a guy, the first one that can do that without being detected might win. If your goal is to off some guy, one of the big boss characters, whoever gets to him first. If it's to rescue hostages,
is it only two player multiplayer?
It's up to four actually.
So four people can do. Now, can four people do co-op?
I believe that's the case. Yeah, because
wow,
obviously not all the people are going to hold them, but
right.
They can all participate.
There's
some cool screenshots out on Tenchu-Z.com that kind of show this co-op play.
Right.
And one of the ways you can differentiate your player is it's fully character customizable. So in the previous Tenchu games, you were playing as Rikimaru or Ayame, and those were the only two playable characters. There was a few others, depending on which game, that were thrown in there. But this one, you customize your own ninja, and it's anywhere from like traditional ninja garb to really crazy, you know, fox ears or a weird lion head or a bunny tail,
crazy stuff,
or weird, you know, crazy weird Japanese kind of stuff.
Right.
So you get to customize that. And as you're playing multiplayer, you can see in some of the shots online, a little bit crazy,
right?
But it's really fun.
Well, obviously, I can see all your customizations that you've done.
Yep, and all of those. There's a certain amount of customization that you get from the start, and as you complete the missions, you get gold. Mm-hmm. And there's two things you can buy with that gold. One of them is your ninja accessories,
right?
And the other one is the clothes. So you can really earn more clothes and buy more clothes as you get farther along in the game and earn more gold. Or you can choose those to power up kind of your, you know, ninja accessories. So there's a couple of examples, like, you know, maybe you want to buy an accessory that you can turn invisible for a certain period of time. Maybe you want to buy an accessory that you can disguise yourself. Basically, after you kill somebody, you can visually change your appearance to look exactly like them. And that way you can sneak around undetected because you just look like a regular townsperson.
Now, this actually goes, I told you I had some questions here. And yep. Someone wrote, his gamer tag is Ludace. He wanted to know, he says, I noticed there's an RPG element in the character creation. I was wondering if there's any level up system in place and how it works. So okay. Is that kind of what you just described?
Yeah, yeah. It's not like a level up in a true RPG-like sense, because
right.
the character kind of remains the same, and it's really more dependent on how much gold you get from mission completions
right.
and how you determine how you want to spend that gold.
Right.
So you can level up. There's kind of ninja power-ups where the sword, for example, there's a dragon sword that you, mm-hmm. Is kind of has a blue fiery element to that is much more powerful, but you have to buy that.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, it is increasing the power of the character and the power of the accessories and weapons that the character's using, but not kind of in the traditional RPG sense.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. Getting back to the questions, another question is, and this one was pretty straightforward. It doesn't give his gamer tag, but he wants to know, he says, in the demo, you can't change the Y-axis. Can you do that in the full version of the game?
Yeah, we didn't include the options in the demo, but in the full game, I just have it up on screen here, there in the control settings, there's both vertical camera and horizontal camera that you can choose normal or inverted. So,
yeah, so there's a lot of different things there, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can also turn off the blood, by the way, for people that are more squeamish about that, as one of the options as we're talking through the options here.
What talk to me about a little bit about the achievements.
Sure. So the achievements are mostly centered around elements of mission completion, so a certain number of stealth kills, using certain ninja accessories, certain accomplishments that are related to the mission goal, essentially. So a full range, you know, basic 1,000 gamer score achievement points that you can get throughout
what's
the game.
What's the easiest one that somebody can just nab right off the bat after playing the game?
Sure. Probably the easiest one is either a complete one secret mission
mm-hmm.
or complete 20 stealth kills. So those are probably the two easiest, because you can do 20 stealth kills in a single mission, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you got to get good at your stealth.
Yep.
Stealth
yeah, and
action.
Really, that's what the whole game is. It's not about trying to engage the enemy, as we talked about the points score
right.
before. It's really about sneaking up. So if you take a mission and you take out all the guards, there's probably at least 20 or so. It may take two missions, but that's the easiest way.
Mm-hmm. So you've worked with the developer on this, right?
Yeah.
Have you gone over to Asia?
I was over there. Yeah, I met it's kind of a different relationship the way I work. So I partnered with the Japanese publisher, From uh-huh. Software, uh-huh. who released it back last fall in Japan. And I don't really have much engagement with the developer, K2 Limited.
I see.
But K2 developed a lot of the previous Tenchu games. So they've got a lot of history and they've
right.
got a lot of frame of reference of how to make it fun and how to make it interesting. But yeah, I worked with a lot with From Software.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah, because I love going to Asia.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun over there. In Japan, I actually speak Japanese.
Oh, you do?
I went to school there for about a year. So.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I love,
yeah.
you know, when I go over to the Tokyo Game Show, I just love it over there. It's such a great time.
Yeah.
People who are listening to the show now know I'm going to start raving about the toilet seats. So
you like the automatic ones, or
God, amazing!
It's always fun to hear people's impressions of those that don't speak the language or
right.
don't know the culture,
which I don't.
It's totally different. Like, I don't think about it because I can understand what people are saying as I'm walking around. I can read some signs and stuff,
right?
But I can imagine, you know, like the very first time I went to Japan, like, you know, 10 or 20 years ago, when I didn't have that. It's hard for me to remember what that was like.
Yeah,
but
well, I'm living it all
that.
The time where I don't know what's going on. But, so anyway, so getting back to Tenchu Z, it's in stores now. It's a stealth ninja game. Is that
ninja
the way?
Stealth action is kind of the official genre, we call it.
Ninja stealth action.
Yep.
They're making their own genre. That's
exactly.
kind of cool. Well, Dwayne, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I'll be looking for you.
Appreciate it.
All right, Tenchu Z is in stores now. You know, we should try. There's four. I think they said there's four-person co-op in there.
Yep.
We should try that.
And, you know, one thing about this game is there's been a long-running debate. What's better, ninjas or pirates?
Right.
This is a game where you can actually be a ninja and fight pirates.
Right. And he also talked about a lot of people who are questioning the visual fidelity of it. He talked about that. It's just the style like Crackdown.
Yeah.
So.
And some people dig it and some won't.
All right. So the next interview I have is with Mitch, who is in charge of FASA.
Yep.
And I am going to ask him some questions about Shadowrun.
Now, these are community questions.
These
right?
are some of the questions from the community, but then notice what I do about halfway through the interview, what I bring up on my laptop and I spin it around. All right, okay. Let's roll that right now. Mitch, you and I have been talking about doing this for how long?
Oh, I don't know, forever?
Like a year at
yeah,
least.
Maybe.
And I said, all right, I'll come over and I want to talk to you, but after the game ships.
Yeah.
So Shadowrun, you're the man behind Shadowrun. You and your team put Shadowrun together. It has shipped.
It has.
And here I am.
It's on the shelves now. My parents actually went to Best Buy and saw it with their own eyes.
And how's it feel now? You, this has been a labor of love for a while.
It has absolutely been a labor of love. Shadowrun's, we put everything into it.
Right.
Everybody on the team. We just went full bore on it.
Yeah, you guys put 110%.
It really was, or really is, because we're still doing it.
Yeah.
And no, it's great to have gamers out there actually experiencing the game sort of the way we intended and
right.
getting the feedback that we're getting from the people playing the game and stuff like that. And they get it.
Right.
And I really appreciate that a lot.
I want to step back a little bit. You did, you guys came out with the demo or the beta. What was that, 6 months ago? 5 months ago?
January. January.
So it was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
What, that was really kind of cool because everyone was really surprised that you came out with the beta.
Yeah.
What kind of data did you collect and what were some of the tweaks that you made from that, the beta, which people have downloaded? In fact, I even think it's still on live, to what you finally ended up shipping.
Yeah, the beta ended in April, actually, but, we got a ton of data out of it because at the end of every game we logged everything.
Right.
And so we got a ton of data. Our goal in putting out the beta in the first place was really about network and network performance.
Right.
Which is interesting considering how it's performing in the field right now, and I'm sure you'll probably have some questions about that or your your listeners will have questions about it. But it was extremely helpful for us. The people that are in the games online right now on live really see what it was we got, because even though it takes a while to get into games,
right.
when they get in, they're really pretty lag-free and
right.
frame rate's really smooth and stuff, and people, you know, really appreciate that. And that was the goal of the beta in the first place, is to make sure that the game played as smoothly as possible.
Right.
We made a lot of changes to our UI based on feedback.
The user interface.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that. I talk in game speak and game development speak code. So we did a lot of that. There was a little balance tweaking.
In terms of the weapons or the size?
Not the weapons. It was the races. We actually tweaked. Yeah, we tweaked the elf just a bit.
Okay.
We tweaked the troll just a bit. Other than that, dwarf and human came out the way we wanted it
to. Pretty much as intended.
Yeah, and weapon balance. There were some tweaks too. You know, the way FASA does things around here is we play the game religiously every day, sometimes multiple times a day, and then we all get into a room to debrief.
Right.
And when the yelling stops, you know you've got the game balanced,
right.
or you've fixed whatever it is
right.
that people say needs fixing. And that's what happened here. People were yelling about a couple of the weapons internally, mostly.
Like which one?
The rifle specifically was
really?
The one. Yeah. And, you know, not a lot of people know this one. Here's a trick for you. We don't have alternative fire, really, in Shadowrun. You know how there are multiple ways of using the same weapon. But with the rifle, if you pull and hold the trigger, you'll do a 3-round burst.
Oh, so and it's tap, tap, tap.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, yeah. You just pull it back,
yeah, and you'll get
and
the,
you'll get a pop, you know.
Interesting.
And,
Does it do it again, or do you have to let go and pull
no,
it?
No, you let go.
Okay.
You know, and I don't know. I think this is the first time anybody may have heard of it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there are things like that in Shadowrun.
Right.
You know, we actively did that on purpose so that people could learn new things about the game as they go on and have it sort of trickle out into the internet and on blogs and stuff like
right.
that. Did you try this? Did you try that? Because the whole idea of the game is that we wanted it to have legs.
Right.
And that over time, people learn new things about it, and there's new things to explore and stuff. That was part of the fun we felt would be out there for people.
What was it like? I want to step way back now. What was it like taking a game like Shadowrun, which has a storied history,
yeah.
and then translating it into an online multiplayer game? So let's talk about what that
sure.
was like, because that seems like a pretty tall order.
It is an extremely tall order. FASA Interactive, way back in the day, 97 or so, we started out on a different Shadowrun game, a completely different mindset for right. that game. It was single player only, not multiplayer,
right.
as an example, and it was an adventure game. And we elected not to go forward with that because we didn't like the prototype. But really, the thing about Shadowrun is it's been around a long time, and it's a very rich world. There's so much. There's really something in it for everyone, and it was designed that way. You know, my friends designed the world, mm-hmm. and it was sort of like it was designed to be a competitor to Dungeons and Dragons, mm-hmm. and to feel like there's something for you to do. You're the cleric or you're the magic user, right. et cetera. And every time you go into a dungeon, there's something for everybody to contribute, like right. a decker. In Shadowrun, somebody who uses the Matrix, the internet,
right.
really to propel their brain into the internet and run into shadows on the internet, or riggers who actually control cars with their minds or vehicles with their brains, so they're right. far more responsive and things like that. Anyway, the problem with Shadowrun is that there's so much to it, from the Matrix to the astral plane to what's going on in politics, meta-human rights, you know, the rights of elves and dwarves and trolls in the future.
Right.
You know,
now, let's be clear. People are listening to you right now, and they're going, did I get the right game?
Yeah.
So that's the old game.
Right, exactly right. That's the paper and pencil role-playing
right.
game, which I played a lot of years ago. And when you say that out loud, it sounds, wow, that's incredibly cool. We should definitely make a game like that. And right. that is true. The problem is that when you're making a game, you have to decide what's in and what's out.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, it's been the bane of FASA, what's in Shadowrun and what's out.
Right.
You know, I haven't even talked about the Native American nations and how they rose back to power and
right.
stuff like that. And there's just so much. It's like you can't do it all.
Right.
You know, not in a reasonable time frame, not next generation, not yeah. with, you know, the advanced sort of gameplay that we have. It's sort of the innovative gameplay.
It would
that
take
we
you
have.
Forever to do a game
it
like that.
It would take
that.
Forever.
It would be Duke Nukem style.
Yeah. forever. So that's always been the thing is, can a lead designer, can a producer create and hold a vision for Shadowrun so that the other designers and everybody else with a voice actually gets drowned out
right.
in a way, or overruled and said, no, this is what we're making. We're not making that.
Yeah.
And I never really, or FASA never really had anybody strong enough to be able to hold a vision that way. Because it takes real guts to say, look, we're just not doing the Matrix.
Right.
I know it would be great and I've got great ideas for it, but we just can't do it all.
Right.
And so when we decided to do Shadowrun, it was because I had hired the lead designer of Halo, mm-hmm. John Howard, who's an exceptional lead designer and an exceptionally strong personality.
Mm-hmm.
And he can create and hold a vision. And the gameplay vision in the game really evolved from him and from a very core group of prototype developers. And we only had about 12 people on the Shadowrun prototype. And my role on it was extremely limited,
mm-hmm.
really.
Mm-hmm.
All I said was, let's do Shadowrun.
Mm-hmm.
John said, you know, and John and I collaborating together, really, we're talking about the skills of the studio and the people that we had in it. You know, we had the people that had done Mech Assault
right.
design and controls, and we had people that had done Crimson Skies controls and design right. and stuff like that. And when we put them together under John, we said, okay, so we've got these great multiplayer and great control designers. And we've always wanted to make a first-person shooter, and we've got the lead designer of arguably one of the best first-person shooters ever made on console. Let's make a first-person shooter. And that one, for me, was not a hard decision,
mm-hmm.
right? Then you go into the sort of the Deus Ex sort of realm, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, this would be so cool. I could do first-person shooter, but I've got all these sort of RPG elements and yada yada with a big, rich story. And that's the direction we started to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And from a conceptual level, it's a little more specific than that, but that gives you a top line of what we were thinking of. And we created a single player story, very rich single player story, all about the return of magic to the world and how the world was evolving. So we, from almost the very beginning, were doing what we do now, which is to take Shadowrun back about 25 years from where it is, and that way we can intelligently limit what's in it. The Matrix hasn't been invented yet.
Right.
The astral plane hasn't been invented yet. Right. And now it's like, okay, those things haven't been invented. That's why they're not there. They will be there eventually.
Right.
But just sort of like Knights of the Old Republic, it takes place 5,000 years before Star Wars. We were along the same veins of, you know, you're one of the very first Shadowrunners in the game. And that was our story, to try and introduce people to the world of Shadowrun. And we would foreshadow that other stuff. And what happened was we created this multiplayer prototype that was so damn good that we realized that this game stands on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And that, coupled with the decision to go cross-platform, you know, Xbox 360 versus Windows Vista.
Yeah, that's pretty – I want to talk about that. Go ahead and I'll finish your thought. I want to talk about that.
It's just when you realize – that was such a big nut to crack.
Right.
You know, one of the very first games on Vista, so creating a game for a platform that isn't done yet.
A brand new OS.
Right. And creating cross-platform when Games for Windows Live doesn't exist yet.
Right.
Right. And doing the very first cross-platform controls, mouse, keyboard versus controller in a first-person shooter with – everybody has said for years, you're insane for even attempting it. And people have said all over the internet, this just can't be done.
Right.
You know?
You did the impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. Believe me, it certainly felt that way. It was a very uphill climb, carrying a lot of weight on your back. And so with all of those things, we let the single-player game go because we knew we had a very strong multiplayer game, and we knew we had these other nuts to crack.
Mm-hmm.
And we figured, well, we'll just go back and we'll do single-player later. We really believe in the single-player game. And we did single-player prototypes and adventures.
Right.
And you can play a single-player Shadowrun game today.
Right.
You know. So anyway, that's the genesis of how Shadowrun was created, and understanding that when you have somebody of the caliber of John, our lead designer, who's able to create and hold a vision,
mm-hmm.
and that's the trick, holding.
Right.
Because, you know, as we play the game, what happens is a lot of people are saying, let's put vehicles in the game, like Battlefield 2.
Right.
You know, or Battlefield. And it's like, okay, hold on. Right. We got teleporting, we got gliding. Now we're going to ride around in tanks and stuff like that. Easy.
Yeah.
Because it changes the way maps are made dramatically.
Sure.
The Shadowrun maps are so different than other first-person shooter maps just because of teleport and glide. And they're large.
Right.
Right. If I had motorcycles in the game,
yeah.
Oh my God, you have to actually be able to get up to speed and drive somewhere.
Right.
That makes those maps even bigger, which is a completely different technological challenge and gameplay challenge on top of the ones we had already created. And believe me, we gave ourselves some real nice challenges in this game. I'm fine with what we did.
I want to talk about the cross-platform play that you talked about earlier.
Oh, that.
You're the very first game to do this, where people on PCs can play people against consoles on Shadowrun over live.
Yeah.
What was that like when somebody came, when I don't know, was it Shane Kim or Peter Marcus came and tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, we want you, you're doing this game, we kind of want you to do this. I mean,
that's actually not what happened at all. It was 100% different, or 180% degrees in the opposite direction. What happened was, I blame this all on Robbie Bach, who's the president of the entertainment.
Sure, he's our boss's boss.
Yeah, he's the king.
Right.
And Robbie, years ago, while we were still prototyping Shadowrun, sent out this email to all the sort of big shots in the company.
Right.
And oh, boy, I get to be a big shot.
I was going
to
say, I don't think I got that email.
Yeah.
Okay.
it turns out there are a lot of stripes on my arm. So I got the mail. And in the mail, he was just talking about his vision for the future of connected entertainment. Mm-hmm. He didn't call it connected entertainment at the time. This is what he talked about at CES this year, about how everything's going to be connected at some point. It was just the germ of that idea, you know, it wasn't a call to action or anything like that, really.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, this is the way I see things going, and as I make decisions in the future for our division, this is what we're going for.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember reading that during a meeting. We were working on Shadowrun, and I had my laptop open.
As we all do in meetings.
Yeah. I think it's a Microsoft thing, but maybe...
I have mine open right now because I'm going to read some stuff.
It's true. Actually, well, you're surfing porn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
So, anyway, I'm reading this mail, and that's where I got the idea to make the first cross-platform game. I realized that with the design team and the development team and the artists that we had, we could actually do it.
You could execute.
Yeah. And I realized that Vista was coming,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, I knew about the security features in Vista that we would probably need
right.
when you're connecting a PC versus a closed system like the Xbox 360.
Sure.
And so I contacted Shane, actually, mm-hmm. and said, I think we should do this. And you could see the light in his eyes, like, yes, we have to do this. Mm-hmm. And he went to Peter Moore mm-hmm. and Robbie simultaneously and said, you know, Facet wants to do this. I right. think we should go for it.
Right.
And they said, let's go for it. And that's actually when we founded the Games for Windows Live group.
Right. Interesting.
It was based on Robbie's email.
Right. So, and then you getting the email in a meeting and blurting it out. Hey, how about this idea?
No, I did not blurt that out. That's not the way I operate around here. It's more like I started coming up with the idea, and I talked to them about it. And when I got the go-ahead, I came back, and I gathered the leads of the team actually in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you know, this is what I want to do. And there was a moment of silence.
Sure.
As you can imagine.
What?
It's like, that's a right turn, my man.
Yeah.
You know, that's a hard right. And one by one, each lead said, I'm in.
Right.
I'm in. I'm right. in. And the last one was John Howard, the lead designer, who I could see the gears turning because he realized, oh, my God, what does this mean for the game? What does this mean
right.
for cross-platform controls, et cetera? They said, we're going to have to create, you know, mouse keyboard versus controller balance that actually works. Tick, 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 tick. I'm in.
Yeah.
It was really fun to watch.
Yeah.
It was scary as hell.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is a major risk. My palms are sweating right now even thinking back to that meeting, you know, because you're coming in
right.
going, I think we should go, whoa, this way.
Yeah.
You know, and then we worked on it for a while as a leads team just trying to make sure that we could do it.
Right.
And then I had to go in front of the entire studio and say, we're going to take a hard right. And that was
And then that
was quite a meeting.
That's how it's pretty dramatic. Now, I think what's also dramatic is that we announced the cross-platform play, the Live Anywhere, whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
a year ago at E3.
That's right, yeah.
Literally a year to the week, you shipped Shadowrun a year later.
Yeah.
I mean, that's yeah. pretty extraordinary if you think about it.
It was insane.
Yeah.
In the membrane. I mean, yeah. it was rough,
yeah,
without a doubt. And I got to give it to the Games for Windows Live team that, you know, when that decision was made, there was no team at all. And the guy in charge, who they put in charge, a guy named Cheech, who
I know him well,
he very quickly put together. I remember him coming to my office saying, I'm Chi, and, you know, I'm going to hire up a team and we're going to get this done. And we looked at each other and said, this is going to be a ride, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, it's going to be a ride. And then he, about, I don't know, a month later, he came back. He says, I hired this guy.
Right.
And it was his lead developer, Rod Toll. And it's like, this is the team so far. I'm like, you got to be kidding.
Yeah.
You guys are behind the eight ball. And
yeah.
so they really put a team together fast and got it done.
It's one thing I want to do is, I was talking about this on my last podcast, is I told folks I was going to have you on.
Uh-huh.
And I solicited some questions from the audience.
Oh, okay.
So if you don't mind, I'm going to pop those open right now.
No, pop them open.
I'd probably end up asking them, you know, asking them anyway. So let's see. So this one from his gamertag is Mystical. He says, some of the questions I had about Shadowrun for your interview, were there any powers that they thought about putting in the game or did put into the game but took out?
Oh, yeah.
If so, is there a possibility we can put them in for downloadable content? Same thing for weapons.
Let me talk about the powers and the abilities that we put in. There were several that didn't make the light of day that I'm a huge fan of.
Okay.
I love them.
Okay.
And one of them we called Gecko. And Gecko is basically your Spider-Man.
And go outside of a building?
You can go up the side of a building, and you can crawl all over the place. Now, think about Gecko in Shadowrun, if you know Shadowrun at all. It's got, you know, very sort of normal weapons in it, very
yep.
real-world weapons in it, but then you've got the addition of tech and magic. So you climb a wall with Gecko with a sniper rifle, and all of a sudden there's a sniper perch anywhere in Shadowrun.
Right.
Right? And then the ability to simply jump off the wall and glide to another sniper perch.
Yeah, just a stick and move, stick and move.
Yeah, exactly. It was awesome,
yeah.
You know, and it was a big deal. And we, I remember vividly, you know, we prototyped Shadowrun on the Halo 1 engine
because,
mm-hmm. you know, we're tight with our boys at Bungie, and mm-hmm. they were really gracious enough to just give us their engine to play with. Mm-hmm. And I remember playing Blood Gulch, right, with Shadowrun and just sticking and moving like that.
Right.
It was a killer experience.
Up on the canyon walls.
Yes. It was fantastic. Unfortunately, it's a real game breaker. as you can imagine. Yeah, if you can climb anywhere and then teleport or glide from there, you know, we didn't really have a really great way of limiting the player.
Right.
We hadn't balanced it out, and we decided, based on the other abilities that we had, we would balance it out later. Okay. When is later? That's a different conversation.
Okay.
But the other thing about it was, is it a magic or is it a tech, and how do you animate it and stuff? And one of the ideas we had was that these sort of we called it Gecko as a code word, but we were thinking maybe of having these sort of arms that come out of your back, because you could face forward or back.
Oh, interesting.
With it, right? And you would have these sort of mechanical arms that would crawl up the wall, so you'd be sort of like spider.
It's kind of scary.
Man. Yeah, it was awesome. So we had all sorts of different ways of doing it. So that was one that I miss.
All right, so the next question is from H2O Fowler. He wants to know, he says, are there any plans for DLC that would add new races such as orcs, gnomes, etc.? I'm going to ask, there's three questions here.
Sure.
Are there plans for DLC that would add new tech or magic? And he says, wouldn't it be cool to have a stun mace for a melee that stunned your opponent and made them drop their weapons? So anyway, I'll let you. What's the deal with the DLC?
The
downloadable content.
Yeah, downloadable content. The answer is real simple. We haven't announced anything yet.
Okay.
You know, and that's going to be my party line for the rest of our conversation.
Okay.
It's just, you know, until we have something to talk about, we're not going to talk about
okay.
it.
Okay, that's fair.
Right. And hold on, Fowler, back to the stun mace idea. That is kind of cool. I'd want there to be a counter to it or something like
right.
that. Just because I can just see being pissed off a lot.
Right, right.
But yeah, that is kind of a cool idea.
So this question is from, let's see, what's his gamer tag? KingNothing42, he writes, convince me that I should pay $60 for a multiplayer game with two game types, CTF and Deathmatch, under different names. I know that technically there are three, but two are Capture the Flag, Artifact, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say to somebody who says that? And then he follows up, he wants to know about
sure.
joystick. But let's
okay. Well, let's take the first thing. First of all, I'm a game developer. I don't set price tags. You know.
Right.
So is the game worth $60? Well, that's up to the individual person to decide.
Right.
Do I think it's worth $60? I'll interview myself on this one. Do I think it's worth $60? I'm conflicted about it because I'm in love with it, and you
right.
know that already.
Right.
The thing to think about is this. We talked a little bit about this before. The game has legs. The game was created to have legs. The game was created to be playable for a long time. And when you look at it, and when you play the game, you'll see that every match is really very different. Based on who you're playing with, what map you're on, what race they've chosen, and then how they utilize their tech, magic, and weapons. You know, this is a game about improvisation and split-second decisions. And you get these really cool sort of water cooler moments afterward. Dude, last night I did this totally cool thing where I dove off a building, you know, backwards, and I hit my glider. I'm gliding backwards. I whipped out my sniper rifle and I headshot this guy while falling. It was awesome. You know, that kind of thing, frankly, I don't hear from other gamers when they play other games. They don't have those stories to tell. And those stories are not based on some single player campaign where the designers have led you through this story, their story that you get to experience. These are your stories that you're creating because of your gameplay and your improvisation and the scenario that you were in. And we've been playing the game for 3 years. Some of the maps that we shipped, one of the maps that we shipped, I won't tell you which one, was the very first map we ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still fun.
Right.
You know, and we're playing that same map in our map rotation when we play at night on our buddy lists,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so if we can play this game this long, and it's not just because we love it, because it's lovable, mm-hmm. you know. And so $60 for a game that I could play for 3 years, you know. Okay, that's $20 a year. I think that's a decent value.
Okay.
You know, in terms of the number of maps, I'm sure somebody's going to ask this eventually. You know, why do you only ship 9 maps and 9 or 12 or whatever it is? And that's because they're really freaking hard to make.
Right.
That's the truth. We have 5 more maps that are done from a gameplay point of view, but we just could not create the art fast enough to get it done.
To get them out.
Yeah, and that's just the truth.
So those maps may or may not come along in downloadable content?
I have nothing to announce at this time.
Okay.
But, you know, that's the truth. It takes about 6 weeks to design a Shadowrun map and balance a Shadowrun map because of all the verticality and the overlapping design where I can teleport from one level to another and glide across things. So it takes about that long just to design the damn thing. And then it takes a minimum of 2 more months per map to get the art done.
Wow.
To the level that we shipped. Yeah. And that's with, you know, large numbers of people on each map. So in man years, it's
staggering.
A little dumb. It's a little, I mean, everything we've done is just a little dumb, as I'm sure people on the internet have said many, many times, you know, the weird decisions we've made and stuff like that. But, you know, it's kind of a bizarre game.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Because it's things like this that make history.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I want, or anybody on this team wants, is to make a forgettable game.
All right, so I'm going to toss you a little curveball here.
No sweat, I'm ready.
So let's take a look at this.
All right.
We're at GameRankings.com.
Oh, yeah.
I just spun my laptop around.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you
mean? Bane
of
my freaking existence. Go ahead.
What do you have to say to some of these ratings out here? Did people miss the point?
Yeah.
Let's take the gloves off.
Oh, the gloves are always off.
Okay.
All right. No problem.
Okay, I've actually spun GameRankings.com around. I brought up the Shadowrun page.
I am looking at it right now. Average review rating, 70% out of 100.
Right.
All right. Well, first of all, that pisses me off to no end.
Okay.
I'm incensed about it. And, you know, yes, I read every review, and my wife asked me not to.
Right.
Because I've become a horrible husband and father after reading one. And what's interesting is a lot of them say the same thing. This is a great game. Oh, my God. This is a great game. 70.
Yeah.
6.5.
Right.
Whatever. Because of the price.
Right.
A lot of them have to do with the price. And again, I don't set the damn price.
Right.
And so there's a value proposition there that people are talking about. I'm going to grade this lower because of the value proposition. All right. Frankly, as a consumer advocate, that makes complete sense. I don't know if a reviewer is a consumer advocate. Let's maybe leave that to Ralph Nader.
Right.
You know, when I've said this before to one or two people, that when somebody reviews a movie, like Moira MacDonald in the Seattle Times newspaper, you know, it's a, you know, 45-minute, hour and 15-minute documentary. You pay $7 for it. And they review the content.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get Pirates of the Caribbean 3. It's 3.5 hours. You pay $7 for it again.
Right.
They review the content. Nobody says, well, it's not worth the money in the review.
Right.
They just review the content and the skill of the execution, the creation. So to have that knock us down in as many reviews as it has really ticks me off.
Right.
Because they're talking about what the game isn't versus what the game is. And a lot of them also say, you know, there's no single player. Like, yeah, no shit, there's no single player.
Right.
What, did I go around telling people, oh, yeah, there's totally single player, and then, like, bait and switch them? Since the very beginning, every interview we do, every, you know, article that's written about the game is it's a multiplayer-only, you know, first-person shooter. Yeah, there's single-player bots and stuff like that. But we didn't misrepresent anything.
Right.
And it's a new genre that's evolved, you know, with Battlefield and Counter-Strike and Battlefront, you know.
Counter-Strike with magic. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. You know what? To be compared with one of the best games ever on the internet, I have no problem with that. Counter-Strike with magic, I think, is really narrow-minded.
Right.
And really doesn't do justice to what we've done.
I probably should have waited to the end of the interview.
Oh, good. No, I got plenty of No. I'll go off on this for an hour. No problem. So, you know, there's no single player in the game. Yeah, no shit. There's no single player in the game.
Right.
Just like there was no single player in Battlefield, you know. Okay.
Right.
So there isn't.
Right.
Move the freak on.
Right. Right.
There, I caution myself.
Okay.
I'm censoring as I go as best I can. But really, that's just garbage. And people are just – the other thing I see is – and we've done some background checks on the people that wrote these reviews.
Right.
You know, at least one of them was the RPG reviewer that they had do the first-person shooter team-based multiplayer game review.
Yeah, whoops.
You know, because – oh, it's Shadowrun.
Yeah.
So they have a Shadowrun fan come on and say, oh, this isn't Shadowrun. It's like, yeah. Great. Thanks very much for that. Now, listen, you know, because I've addressed the is this Shadowrun thing a fair amount. We talked about it a little bit here.
Right.
So, you know, are there only three game types? Yes, there are only – how many game types are there in football? You know?
Right.
I can think of one.
Right.
Back off.
Right.
Is what we did fun? Can you play it for years this way? I think we can, and I'm totally standing behind what we did. It doesn't bother me at all the criticisms of the game, you know, it's just grading us down for some of the things that we've done, saying, look, this is what we're making.
judge us on this. Did we do it? Yes, we did. Did we make the first cross-platform game? Yes.
Check.
Is the balance controls what we said it is? Yes, it actually is. Check. Did we innovate on the first-person shooter genre? Yes. Check. Is it immersive and innovative, and edge-of-your-seat gameplay? Yeah, it is. Does it look next generation? Yeah, it does. All right. Can you please just give me the review score that my team deserves?
Right.
You know, and the interesting thing is when you see this and you look at the reviews on the blogs written by, first-person shooter fans. Yeah.
Joe Gamer.
Yeah. Joe Gamer. You know, a guy came out and said 94 the other day.
Yeah.
You know, another guy said, I can't believe how stupid some of these reviews are. You know, the game is awesome. And that's what keeps us going. And that's what keeps the team here late nights working on a patch, which we're absolutely working on.
Right.
You know, and it keeps people focused because we know that the truth will out and that eventually people will realize that these reviews are not wholly right.
Right. So you know? so you're getting much higher game reviews from obviously gamers than you are from the press.
Yeah, if you go on to some of the things, it's like the review score 7.0 and then fan review 8.4. It's like,
Yeah. There's a difference.
something's going on here. And you know, I was wondering, does this happen to a lot of games? And we've done a little research and this is one of the only games that has this sort of weird dichotomy between professional quote unquote reviewer review and what the gaming public is saying.
Right.
So that's why we can go to work in the morning.
I think you're the first person I've ever gone to GameRankings.com and turned around and show them. I mean, I know you're aware of it.
Oh, yeah. My bosses are aware. They're like, hey, your review scores aren't so good. Yeah. And my reaction to them is my reaction to you.
Yeah. I can imagine telling Shane
Kidd. Yeah. Well, look, they didn't hire me to be a wallflower.
Right, right. There you go. All right. So the next question I have is from Kilroy214. He wants to know, he says, Mitch, can you comment on the rumors that FOSSA is being shut down?
Oh, Christ. This one again. Yeah. I'll tell you, just like coming into work every day because you know your game's good and you know that people are going to understand it, this is a very distracting rumor for us.
Okay.
And all we want to do is take care of our customers, right? There are gamers out there that aren't getting into games fast enough. You know, the matchmaking isn't fast enough. Even though we did a beta, you know, we missed something. Okay, this, by the way, this isn't Game for Windows Live.
Right.
This is Shadowrun. It's our fault that matchmaking isn't fast enough.
Right.
And there are some other people getting disconnected and stuff like that.
So you're working on that?
Yeah, we're working on it hardcore.
Okay.
Hardcore. Up until 11 o'clock last night is an example.
Wow, okay.
So, you know, I just want to get away from that, go to work, and keep going. Are there people that are not in the studio anymore? Yeah, there's some people on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of every project, there's a diaspora of people. Like, half the studio is
diaspora.
Contract.
Everyone's going, what does he just say?
Oh, yeah, look it up, baby. I'm sorry. I'm not talking down to you people.
Diaspora, holy cow.
Yeah, you know, half the studio is contractors. Their contracts are over. They're going to look for work and stuff like that. And at the end of every game, you know, after 3.5 years of working on the same thing, you're going to be looking around too. So there are definitely fast people in the job market, stuff like that. And that's as far as I'm going with this.
Got it.
I'm going back to work.
All right. That's good. All right. So let's see what else we have here. This is from Matt, who's a designer. His gamer tag is Smats. He says, he wants to know why he didn't have customizable characters or personalized logos in the final game. Did you guys ever consider it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Customizable characters. Hell yeah. I mean, that was one of those things we were really loath to cut.
I don't even want to tell you where he's from. I'll turn around. He's from a fairly large publisher that I can show you here.
Oh, that's hysterical. So, how cool is that?
So he's from a pretty large publisher asking this question.
Yeah. So as an employee of a large publisher, you know that there are some things that can't make the light of day for various reasons. Time is one, money is one, technology is another. In this case, it had to do with time and technology. To create all of the costumes and everything that you could customize on somebody, that was one element of it. Had 100 people on the team, and this is what we got. Imagine how much more we would need to have customizable characters. We also had female characters in the game that we had to cut. So, you know, look, cuts happen when you make a game. You just have to focus and get it done. The other thing was that
you're talking about different draw calls.
Mm-hmm.
And Shadowrun, one of the things, you know, people think cross-platform is hard and, you know, team-based shooters are hard and stuff like that. One of the hardest things to do in this game was to blend art and code and design and make them all work together. In other words, you know, we have people that can teleport across a battlefield, glide over a battlefield, go inside a building, outside of building, above buildings. And a lot of games that you'll see, first-person shooters, are either interior games like a Quake, mm-hmm. or something like that, or a Doom 3. And then more of a Doom 3. And then there's more of a, sort of a battlefield, open battleground, you can't go into buildings sort of thing.
Right.
You build a game engine based on that, or you make decisions on how you create your art based on is it interior, is it exterior, how much you can see. With Shadowrun, we're doing both at the same time. Plus, you can teleport between them instantly within milliseconds,
yeah.
right? And then on top of that, the 16 players in a game all running smoothly, you know, at great frame rate with no lag can summon creatures to fight for them, summon trees of life, summon these crystals to bar exits and stuff like that. And that's just too many moving parts,
mm-hmm.
you know. And to balance those things out, we're required epic battles between my leads.
Mm-hmm.
Epic battles. Knock down, drag out battles. To add more draw calls, in other words, more graphical elements to, he has a leather jacket. This guy has a leather jacket. This guy doesn't have a leather jacket.
Right.
There's an expense for that.
Sure.
And we weren't prepared to pay that particular expense on this title. Not the first generation.
Right, when you say expense, you mean processor calls.
That's exactly right.
All these
That's
other
exactly
things.
Right. In game development, that guy will know. You know, that guy from that game company will know. You know, we call it expense. You know, millicycles right. are an expense or
right.
milliseconds. You know, that kind of thing.
Okay, I see. Boy.
I can keep going forever.
I was
going
to say, I'm not going to show you that review anymore. I just.
Sorry, well, I was an intense little man before that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, let's see what else we have for questions. What were there any huge issues that you ran into? This is from King Nothing 42. Wants to know if there are any new issues you ran into talking about the cross-platform play, balancing the mouse and joystick versus the controller. I know you tweaked it and tweaked it and tweaked it and tweaked it. But
I'm sorry, I don't get the question again. What was
were any huge issues that ran into programming the cross-platform play?
Oh.
The mouse and keyboard crowd yeah. versus the controller crowd.
No.
Did you have to dumb one down and make
okay.
one up? Or,
so
or,
from
or,
that point of view, okay. So from a balance point of view, not really from a programming point of view, but we think of that more as just designer game balance, because one of the great things about the developers on Shadowrun is they give these sort of tools and levers to the designers so that the designers can tweak them
right.
and that kind of thing and play around with numbers and that kind of thing. So it really wasn't a programming challenge. It was more of just a design challenge. So no, it really was not – I love saying this because I didn't have to do it. It wasn't that hard. It was more time consuming.
Right.
You know, it took us about 3 months to do it. We had half of our test team were Halo League players, and about the other half were Counter-Strike League players.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Right. And so they would have these monumental battles, and then, like I said before, the FASA process, everybody gets in a room and argues.
And okay, that's one way to do it.
And just yells and rants and raves, and then, you know, our designer in charge of balance, Sage Merrill, will say, you're an idiot, you're not an idiot, I'm going to listen to you, I'm not listening to you. And a lot of the times what he would do is he would make changes without telling people.
Oh, interesting.
On purpose.
Just
and
to
he
see
would see if they noticed.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah, and it was interesting. And slowly the volume died down.
So he was doing all these tinkering under the hood.
Yeah, and what would happen is he would say, look, I'm doing this, don't tell the test team.
Right.
Right. Specifically, you know, that test team. We
right.
keep our test team involved in everything. But,
right.
You know, and I just want to hear what they say. And they're like, huh, today, I don't know what happened, but it's smoother today than it was yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, maybe we just got used to it. And he goes, no, they're not getting used to it. I did something.
Yeah, you took their feedback.
So, yeah. Yeah. So that's a lot of the way we did it, or he did it and they did it. I watched.
Is, It's been a long time creating this game. What's it like to to finally ship it and finally go back? And what would you have done differently at the beginning of the cycle of it versus you've done now? What are one or two things?
What would I do differently?
Yeah.
Not show up. You know, I'm not overstating when I say it's the hardest thing we've ever done.
Right.
And
you've worked on a lot of different games, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been in game development for something like 15 years.
Tell me some of the titles that you worked on. Just rattle them.
The Mech Commander series, Mech Commander 1, Mech Commander Gold, Mech Commander 2, Mech Assault, Crimson Skies are just some of the ones that I've done here. So, I also did some PlayStation 1 games.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're not going to talk about those today.
We can if you want.
No, I don't want. I don't want. We're not going where I don't want to go. Come on. So what would I do differently? I would probably make staffing decisions differently.
Sure, okay.
You know, when all is said and done, and like I said to you before we started this conversation, I tried to be as absolutely candid as I possibly can, and I would make some different staffing decisions.
Sure.
Because in hindsight, you can see clues that somebody wasn't the right person for the job earlier or something like that.
Sure.
And so I would have made some different staffing decisions, which would have gotten us through a little faster.
Sure.
And things like that. And the one other thing that I would say sort of on that road involving staffing is I was understaffed also, although I didn't know it. Sometimes you can't just see the forest through the trees. My production staff, specifically my producers, I only had one producer at one point, and that was fine for Last Generation. It's just not like that anymore. And I staffed up to 5 producers, including a senior producer, Dana, who was overseeing all the producers. And I had one producer, Sean, who was in charge of content. I had another producer, Tim, who was in charge of technology. And then we had associate producers to keep things on track and you know, really nail the process down.
Yo, I got to tell you, I want to stop you for a second. I've learned a lot about game development over my years working on Xbox. Clearly, you've been in it longer than I have. But when I think of everything that goes into game development, I'm actually surprised things get out the door.
Yeah, me too. Well, there are a lot of things that don't.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And what's interesting to me is, in my experience, it is just as difficult to make a bad game as it is to make a good game.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it takes just as much effort, it seems like. But yeah, it's interesting when you think about especially this generation of game development and all that goes into it and how you're always chasing the hardware.
Yeah.
You know, and how the public's expectations go up and up and up. The idea, you don't have a single player's, you know, campaign in there? What are you talking about?
Right. Minus like, 10 points.
Yeah, exactly. or whatever. It's like you only have 3 game types instead of 10
minus 10 points.
Types, you know, or whatever it is. You know, when you think about it, you look at what it takes to make a movie.
Right.
And, you know, it's this amazing effort to make a movie, even a little one. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have the actors and you have the producers and you have special effects and you have lighting and you've got the cinematographers, et cetera, et cetera. It's this major effort. And the interesting thing is that making games is that level of effort and more.
And much more.
And a lot of people don't realize that. And the budgets are getting like feature films too, you know. So, you know, I have a budget of a feature film director.
Right.
And I have the size of a team of a feature film.
Right.
You know, except that mine has to run at frame rate, yeah. real time.
Yeah.
You know, I can't render something out over the period of days and weeks, and the technical challenges and the fun and usability and it's just it's earth shattering, you know. And at the end of every project, I regularly say I'm not making any more games.
Are you gonna make another one?
I'm not making any more games, but as my wife knows, I'm a liar.
Right.
So we'll see what happens.
All right, I'm gonna wrap it up now, but I want to ask you because I ask this of all my guests.
Uh huh.
What's your gamer tag?
It's one that Microsoft would not like to hear me say, but my gamer tag is HR violation.
HR is it HR violation?
It's HR violation.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah. That's true.
So you'll probably be getting messages for...
I imagine so.
Some invites.
Do people answer that question?
Oh, every single person... There's only a couple people that haven't answered the question.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I still have yet to nail Peter Moore on that one.
Some people don't like that, especially when they've made such a controversial game like mine. Now I can get spammed and people can send me
you know, horrible.
But it's staying
voice
connected
mails.
To the community. I mean, I'm out there all the time.
Yeah.
I answer like as many as I can.
Oh, I do too.
I know. So.
I was asked in France what my gamer tag was, and I figured, oh, they're, you know, they're not going to use it.
They
know?
Did.
But I, why did you not make a single player campaign?
Yeah. You know? They went after you. Mitch, I'm gonna let you go. I appreciate you spending 45 minutes with me.
It's, yeah, it
doesn't
real
feel
pleasure.
That long. It was
no,
great.
No, it was real fast for me.
Good luck, and we'll have you on again.
Yeah, I hope to.
Please.
Yeah,
and maybe when the update comes out.
Sure, we'll celebrate the success. Oh, you know, one thing while we're here, if you don't mind, you know, there's talk on the internet about, you know, there being a patch, and I talked about there being
right.
a patch. I just want to tell people what to expect really fast from them.
Yeah.
Okay. We have finished one patch and we're working on the second patch right now. The first patch that you'll get will come out within a few weeks. I don't know exactly when.
Right.
And that's specifically for our friends in Europe.
Okay.
So people in North America or in Asia that you know are forced to download an update to Shadowrun, don't expect anything from it.
Okay.
Okay. It's really just for our friends in Europe.
Okay.
So don't go, I don't understand. They didn't fix anything.
Right.
We fixed a lot of stuff, just not for you.
Just not for you.
All right. The second patch, which we are finishing up right now, it still takes weeks to finish testing and get through certification. That'll be out in a few weeks. That will address the matchmaking speed.
So you guys found the issue?
Yeah. We found. It's funny. You do a beta, and it works perfectly. Then you get out into the real world, and when you have thousands and thousands and thousands and double secret thousands of people doing it,
right.
You find out, oh, we missed something.
Yeah.
So we believe we've got that fixed and some other things like disconnect and also some upgrades to dedicated server that people, I think, will like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
We're out here to please. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we made this game for other people, you know, to really enjoy. Yeah. So that's on the way, and I just want to let people know that. Okay?
I'm sure they'll appreciate
it. You know, appreciate people's patience, and I appreciate that, you know, people are having problems, and we're on them, and we're fixing them as fast as we can.
That's good news. All right, man.
Thank you.
All right, so there you have it. Mitch from Shadowrun. E, so I don't think I've ever done that before.
Just surprise someone
just,
like that?
Just, I was sitting there, and I brought up GameRankings.com and spun it around and said, what's going on? I've never done that to anybody before, but Mitch took it well.
Yeah, and I mean, he's really passionate about it, believes in the game they delivered,
right.
And we'll see what people think.
Yeah, so it's a lot of people like the demo.
People are playing the demo, and
so,
you know, that's a good sign.
Yeah, that is a good sign. So anyway, Shadowrun and Tenchu Z both in stores right now. So go ahead and pick those up. I made a post a couple of days ago, last week, about all the games, and you and I have talked about this, how there's a lot of games coming out this summer.
Yes.
Normally, summer's pretty quiet, but this one, there's just some cool stuff coming out. What are you looking forward to?
The Darkness, which is coming out in, I think, it's about 2 weeks.
I don't know. I think I heard that maybe got bumped.
The Darkness got bumped?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope not.
Somebody posted that on the blog. I should go ahead and take a look.
If that's true, I missed the news story. I thought The Darkness was still on track for like June 27th or something like that.
Yeah, we'll figure out what that's all about.
I mean, part of me wants to go back to some of the games I've missed.
Right.
Because there have been so many games that I was actually, you know, fairly excited for, and then they came out and I was busy with either work or, you know, hey, it's the Halo 3 beta, I gotta play it while it's here, things like
what?
That.
Like what? What are you gonna go back to?
Oh, boy. Okay. Now I have to actually try and remember things. I'm never very good at that. You know what? Hang on. I'm gonna pull up a list of what's come out recently.
All right.
Where am I? Now, the question is, where am I going to go?
Right.
Okay, what the heck? EB Games is good for that. EBGames.com.
Actually, EB Games, according to them, the Darkness
Xbox
is still shipping on 625, so we'll see. But, you know, I'm sure between the time we record this and by the time it airs, maybe there'll be a change. So
yeah. Okay.
All the information you're hearing right now is based on data available at this moment in time. There's the disclaimer.
Yep. Okay, so games that have come out recently. Okay, I'm not going to... Forza, just not my style of game.
Right.
So
it's huge. Look, it's number 2 on the top 10 this week.
It's huge. I can appreciate it as technically a very well-done game,
yeah.
But I'm going to
suck at
it.
You and I suffer from the same problem with driving games.
Yeah, so... I am really looking forward to the next Burnout, actually, but that's another story.
That's a crashing game. That's not a driving game.
Yeah, that's pretty true. But I love that game, though.
Yeah.
I can play that game forever. I was playing it Wednesday night with my son. We pulled it out and started playing it.
Okay.
So, I'm just... I gave up on EB Games and just went back to my games history on Xbox.com.
Right.
So I was fully intending to play the story all the way through on Halo 2 Vista. So I haven't done that.
Yeah, you know what? I need to go over to I think the Windows Games for Windows guys got a PC for me to borrow.
So they gave up on putting a video card in your PC and
yeah, oh,
just
please.
Give you
remember
a
we
PC?
Talked about that? What a nightmare that was.
So I need a new PC, guys.
It's on loan, trust me. They'll come get it. Which is fine, because then they'll just give me more hardware.
Yeah, that works.
So I'll have to try that. Anyway, so as you were saying.
So other things on here I need to get back to. I never finished the Xbox Live Arcade version of Doom, which I totally meant to
do. I don't
think
I did either.
I need to get back to Guitar Hero. So partially because I got 5-star and everything on easy. I was working my way through medium, and that's one where I did just get totally distracted.
Plus, right.
Someone stole one of my two guitars. But I'm fully expecting at PAX that we are going to be playing a ton of Guitar Hero 2 at my house.
Right.
So I need to both unlock all the songs, and I also need to get better so I'm not, you know, just getting wiped up by everybody.
You know what? The game that I really played a lot of was Surf's Up.
I want to go play that, but I haven't seen the movie yet. So I'm going to go see
really
the movie.
I don't really care about seeing the movie.
It's got penguins in it.
That's fine.
Not go see a movie about penguins?
Because I don't get achievements when I watch the movie.
They're penguins. They're, like, cute and fuzzy.
And animated.
Yeah.
But give this a try. Also, I'm at 89.65. I'm knocking on the door of 9,000. I need something to pick up an extra.
Wow. So you're, with a few more, you'll only be 3,000 behind me. Go major. So moving on. Other games I want to go back to.
I see.
There's part of me that... As it's just a sickness. I'm really, really tempted to go back to Crackdown.
Yes.
And find not just all the agility orbs, which I did, but find all the hidden orbs. Now that they've done the auto update and they've made it easier to find your last few orbs, so people won't have to suffer like I did. I'm really tempted.
Yeah, we suffered. You and I suffered.
I suffered way more than you.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you were looking for that one for weeks.
I've only got like. Maybe 75 hidden orbs left to go, and that's really tempting, so I might go back to that. I want to finish Bullet Witch. I never finished the story mode of that.
All right.
I was actually having a lot of fun with that game. And believe it or not, I'm shooter guy, and I play all these shooters like crazy. Somehow, I have yet to play Gras 2. I, like, put it in my
Gras. We did that.
No, not Gras 2.
Well, didn't we play Gras 2?
Bunyan played it.
Oh, that's right. Me and Paul Bunyan played it.
I dropped it in for like a couple
of seconds. I'll do some Gras 2 with you.
I haven't even started the story mode yet.
All right, I'm down with that.
I need to get back to that game because I know I'm going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just somehow... I think it was Guitar Hero. I think I was hooked on Guitar
Something
Hero
got distracted. You
when
got
Gras
distracted.
Came out.
Yeah.
So I've got a ton of really good games to get back to. So.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm going through... I'm kind of churning through a bunch of stuff, but I don't want to... You can go up to my gamer card and take a look.
I don't even have the red shirt achievement on Star Trek Legacy. I gotta get that.
Yeah.
Just because it's
how much is that
red
one worth?
Shirt achievement. That's not the point, but hang on.
I just want to know. What's going to put me over 9,000? I mean, let's get tactical here.
Oh, jeez. We can find you, you know, Barbie's Horse Adventures 2. That's about your speed.
Yeah. Anyway.
Of course, I'd have to be able to... I'm looking here, and I don't see the red shirt... Is that what they... Did they not actually call it the Redshirt Achievement?
I thought that's what it was called. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Well, if you find that, let me know. Hey, you know what else happened this week, which was interesting?
Okay, what?
Our friends across the street, and I say across the street because that's a term we used to use in the old days.
We did?
Well...
By we, you mean you.
Right. Yeah, across the street, competitively, at Sony, started a blog.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I looked at that, and...
It's on my RSS feed.
Welcome. Welcome, Sony, to the age of blogging. I still have an open invitation to someone from the Sony organization to come on my show. I don't want anybody from your agency. I want somebody from the Sony organization.
That'd be cool.
So, it's always been an open invitation. Love to have you on.
Here we go. The Anonymous Red Shirt Award.
That's it.
5 gamer score. But I just want it because it's the Red Shirt Award.
It's a cool. Yeah, it's cool.
So...
You know, there's actually probably some people listening right now who are going, I don't understand what the Red Shirt Award is. I don't understand what the Red Shirt is.
They're probably too young to remember
right.
Classic Trek, and they think that, you know, Next Generation or Deep Space Nine is where it's at. No.
Red Shirt.
Yeah.
It's not. Hey, you know, I think we want to do Name the Game or Xbox 101 first.
Let's do Name the Game.
All right, Name the Game. So, the Name the Game last week is, well, here it is. All right, that was Name the Game from last week. That was E.
That was Call of Juarez.
That's right, Call of Juarez. Congratulations to...
What do I win?
What do you win? Well, you don't win anything, But Salvadoran 01 of Utah is going to win himself a Turtle Beach Air Force One X1 headset.
He's going to enjoy that.
Air Force One X1. Is that what they're called? Hold on, let me open up the box.
I think so, yeah.
They're called Air Force One. I mean, I just... Did I give it double names?
I don't know.
I'm opening...
right there. Air Force X1.
Air Force X1. There you go. He's got it.
Yep. These are cool.
Yeah, the guys from Turtle Beach, we met them last week. Did you meet them?
I did not. The Turtle Beach guy was going to come to MLG Meadowlands. We were going to hook up there, and he had to cancel. So.
Right. So anyway, Air Force... X1 headset, congratulations to Salvador in 01. And we need to play another Name the Game. So here it is. Here's Name the Game for this week. All right, if you think you know what that is, E.
I got that one.
All right, if you think you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com, and put Name the Game colon and what your guess is, and then in the body, please put where you're from and your gamer tag, and then I'll enter you in to win a... one of those cool things, an Air Force X1 headset. And E, you're not eligible.
I'll just take one. Oh, wait, I already did that.
Do you know how many... I'm just thinking about how many games, Name the Games I've done. I've done a couple hundred now.
Really?
I think so. No, well...
You've done a lot.
Yeah, probably 100.
Yeah.
Actually, some people were asking... this is show number 230, and someone asked, well, what happened to show number 229? Well, what I do is I take, like, for instance, show number 229 is not really a show because I took all the videos that were up on Xbox.com and I put them on my iTunes feed. So I called that show number 229.
You have to call it something.
I got to call it something.
I don't think iTunes supports, like, 228 and a half.
Right. And I got to call it something because I took the time to put it together. And so if you have a video iPod and you're subscribed to the iTunes feed, make sure you download that. It's kind of cool.
Did you put up Zune-friendly versions this time?
Did I? I don't think I did.
Yeah. I actually watched a movie on my Zune on the plane flight to New York.
You didn't listen to my show last week. I told the story. I had, and I must explain it. I was watching Castaway.
Okay.
Tom Hanks.
I love the bit where he's talking to the volleyball.
Right. So I'm watching Tom, and I'm for those people that heard this last week, I apologize. Fast forward 60 seconds. But I'm watching the movie, and I'm at the plane crash sequence,
okay,
which is horrifying in terms of real. And just at the moment when they're starting to go down and he's getting thrown around the cabin,
right,
I hit a ton of turbulence in my airplane. And I was like,
oops.
I like grabbed the seat and it just went bananas. Now, a lot of people have asked me, where did I get the movie or how did I get the movie on the Zune? So I'd like to answer that question right now. I moved it from my media center.
Oh, sure.
So I had recorded, it was on TBS like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I had recorded it on my media center, and then using, I think it's Zune TV Watcher, which converts it down to the right version. So yeah. It was all, I didn't rip the DVD, it was all broadcast.
Cool.
So that's the way I did that. So that was, so what'd you watch on when you were moving, when you were flying? And how did you get your stuff on the Zune?
This is a movie I've been like meaning to watch for a long time and just never really got around to it.
Right.
But I watched Doom on the plane flight.
I'm noticing a Doom theme here. You wanted to play the arcade title.
Well, this actually, the reason I have Doom is...
There's no reason to have that movie.
No, this was like last year. And it was after PAX, I think. So like September or October or something.
Right.
Had a bunch of house guests at my house.
Right.
On a Saturday, we had a nice party the night before. We were a little hungover.
I was at that party, wasn't I?
You were not at this one.
Oh, okay.
No, you weren't at this one. But we decided the next morning we're going to watch Grandma's Boy. Great video game movie. Everyone listening, if you're old enough to see, it's, I think, rated R. Go see it. Fun movie.
Okay.
And then we decided we somehow got into a watching bad movie mode. We then watched Wing Commander, which happened to be on like HBO or Showtime, and wow, that movie's bad. It's atrocious, but right. It's so bad it's funny. And we started watching more and more movies like that. And then Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle,
right?
And there were a couple of others, and there was some movie we wanted to watch that we didn't have, so we went to the nearest place to go buy DVDs and picked up Doom because it was on sale at the time because it fit with the theme of bad movies,
right?
And we were all gamers, and then we never got around to watching it. And
so
I had it for like a year and never seen it.
I see.
So I finally threw it on my Zune and watched it, and it was every bit as bad as I expected it to be.
Well, there you go.
So, but it helped pass the time. It's a, almost a 6-hour flight. So,
6 hours.
Just about.
Did you take a prop airplane?
Seattle to New York?
Isn't that like long?
Coming, it's faster coming back, but yeah. Going there, it's like 5:45 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it is pretty.
So it's a long pretty. Flight. Yeah.
Especially when we had to circle over Denver for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I went nonstop both ways.
See, I made the tragic mistake of when I fly to New York, I book into LaGuardia.
Oh, yeah.
And when you leave LaGuardia, I was talking with one of the desk agents, and I told you this, is that they can only go as far west as Denver because right. The runways are so short that the aircraft can't be filled up with any more fuel because they can't get off and you'll end up in the river.
Which would be bad.
Which would be bad.
So, no, I flew into Newark.
Yeah, I got to fly into Newark
from
now on.
The shuttle right. into Midtown. There are tons of nonstop Seattle to Newark, and they're cheap. Because you went on business. I went on vacation, so I was looking for decent flights.
Yeah, but I still got cheap anyway.
What'd you pay?
Oh, I think it was like $330.
Okay. I think mine was about $400, but it was nonstop both ways.
Okay.
So I'll pay the extra.
Yeah, I was screwing around in Denver in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and spent the night asleep on a
as a bonus. Yeah, as a bonus, I got a free night out of it.
Totally worth it.
So, yeah. Anyway, all right, so it's, you know what time it is?
It's Xbox 101.
Xbox 101 with Major Nelson. Thank you, Funky. And when E is on the show, E brings with him the Xbox 101.
E brings Xbox 101. By the way, Funky, are you coming to PAX this year? Let me know. Anyways, moving on. Xbox 101. And this one was, I think, inspired by listener request, was it not?
It was.
So the request was basically, hey, there's all these different ways I can connect my Xbox to my television.
Right.
I don't understand which one's the best. What should I do? So I'm just going to kind of run down real quick through here are your different options, and I'm going to approximately go in quality order from worst to best.
Okay.
But we could spend days.
Yeah, this is actually a borderline religious discussion.
Yeah. So the first part of it is really easy.
Right.
So if you look at the cable that comes with your Xbox console, it supports both HD and non-HD.
Mm-hmm.
The non-HD connection has just one yellow connector. That style of connector is called an RCA connector.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the video goes over. That's called composite video.
Mm-hmm.
And it's composite because basically everything is squished together onto this one signal.
Yeah.
That's the lowest quality connector you can get by default out of an Xbox 360. So you use that if you have no other choice. If you have any other option, don't use composite.
Okay.
The next step up actually doesn't come in the box. It's pretty uncommon these days, so you have to go get another cable if you need this. This is called S-Video. And
the Super VHS, isn't that what it...
It's actually not.
Oh, it's not.
It doesn't have anything to do with Super VHS. A lot of people think it does because it happened to come out at the same time.
That's right.
Because Super VHS, basically the quality that was on the tape couldn't get through a composite connection.
Right.
So it kind of came along at the same time as the S-Video connector, but it doesn't actually stand for Super VHS. And for the old timers among you, this was also called the Y/C connection. Nobody actually calls it that. It's S video. S video separates out the, let me see if I can do this from memory. S video gives you higher quality by separating out the luminance and the chroming in the chroma signal.
Now, E is not a video engineer, so he may be a little squishy in some areas.
I may be.
But the general thought is there.
S video is better than composite.
Mm-hmm.
And if your only choices are S video and composite, go S-Video.
Okay.
Much better picture.
Let's continue on up the chain.
The next step up is component video.
Right.
And component is supported by that default cable that if you flip the HD switch.
Right. Now, it's important is there's an HD switch in the back there.
Yes. You need to flip that if you're going to use the component video. Component video goes over three connectors. So there's a red, a green, and a blue.
Mm-hmm.
And by separating out the colors even more, you get a much higher quality picture.
Right.
Component video is an analog signal, but it's a very high quality analog signal.
Right.
So you can support 1080p over component if your display device will support 1080p over component.
Right.
You're going to see, depending on what kind of TV you've got, you might be doing 480p, you might be doing 720p, 1080i, or 1080p. Those are all options over component connections.
And then, that's good to know. And then literally right next to that... Well,
hang on.
Okay.
Clarify one thing here.
Okay.
There's a lot of confusion about 1080p support and component.
Okay.
So, assuming you have a display device that takes 1080p over component, you can get games at 1080p. It will do HD DVDs at 1080p. It will not upscale a regular DVD from 480p to 1080p. The DVD licensing restrictions don't allow upscaling over unprotected analog connections like component. So it's not that it's technically impossible, it's that we're not allowed to.
Okay.
So a lot of people get confused over that. So if you want to upscale your DVDs, you need to go to one of our final two choices.
Which are?
Choice number one is VGA.
Right.
So if you're connecting to a computer monitor or to a lot of TVs that have kind of monitor heritage on the inside, you'll have a VGA connection. And we can go up to 1080p on VGA, and we can upscale DVDs over VGA. So you can get everything on 1080p through a VGA connection. So it may, you could argue about whether it's actually higher quality or not than component, but the legalities allow us to do more over VGA.
Okay.
And the final option is HDMI.
Right.
To get HDMI out of an Xbox 360, you need to have an Xbox 360 Elite.
That's the black box.
That's the black box. It has an HDMI connector on it. HDMI is a fully digital pathway. You can get into all sorts of basically religious arguments over whether that's actually better or not.
And we're not going to do that right now.
The only thing I'm going to say is it's impossible to say this one is better than the other because it depends on what kind of cable you have, what the actual internals of your TV are and how they work. There isn't one connection that's always best in every situation. However, if you have HDMI on your Elite and an HDMI display device, you can get up to 1080p for everything that you're watching. It's a nice connection, one cable, very clean, works great.
If somebody has a TV, you talked about the TVs, in your opinion, that so I've got a TV that has VGA and can take component. Which should you go?
Unfortunately, there's no always do this because it depends on the TV. So there are a lot of TVs out there that have component that'll take, say, 720p or 1080i and have VGA, but will only take 640 by 480 through their VGA input.
Right, right.
So it you have to look at the manual for your television and figure out what can my TV actually support. And in some cases, you're going to be better off with component. In some cases, you're going to be better off with VGA.
So as always, your mileage may vary. Thank you, E, for that Xbox 101. And people are thoroughly confused now.
Probably. So I'll actually try and keep an eye on the blog and answer a few questions if I have time.
All right. So we have to get wrapping it up here because I got stuff to do and I want to get the show posted. So gadgets, though. Got any gadgets? I have a great, great gadget I want to talk about.
I actually do have a gadget story. So my Dash story.
Oh.
So, so people have heard us talking about the Dash a whole bunch of times and about the fact that there was a Windows Mobile 6 upgrade that came out for it. So if you have the Dash, you can go to T-Mobile.com, download the upgrade, flash it. Ta-da, you get all the cool new stuff that's in Windows Mobile 6. And I'll come back to that in a minute because that actually came in really useful in New York. But I flashed my phone and it booted up with Windows Mobile 6.
So you went over to T-Mobile, downloaded the official upgrade.
I downloaded the official upgrade. I went through all the, you know, make sure it's connected, do this, blah, 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 next, next, next. It did the upgrade, and then the next thing it does is it reboots, and I get a new splash screen, and then it immediately shut down and rebooted again and went through this cycle and wouldn't come out of it.
Kept going.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, great, I'm doing this right before I leave for New York. Now my phone's messed up. What's going on? So we called our friends who do all the Windows Mobile.
Fortunately, when you work at this company, you know the right people. So I called the right people and said, funny story is, I actually happened to be over there. They were letting me borrow a phone for New York. And you called me, and I turned around and went right back up to the office.
Leave.
And I went right into the guy's office and put him on speakerphone and said, talked him through it. So
we did a little troubleshooting, and we figured out what was going on. It was actually a pretty rare edge case, but I had a really, really old SIM card. Like, my SIM card...
How old was it?
About 5 years old. It was a VoiceStream SIM. So
those of you who remember VoiceStream.
Yeah, so VoiceStream was bought by T-Mobile years and years ago.
Right.
So my SIM card is that old, and it was the combination of Windows Mobile 6, having a 1 gig storage card, micro SD in my phone, and the really old SIM. If I took the 1 gig micro SD card out, the phone worked great.
Right.
If I used a newer SIM, the phone worked great. So all I had to do was go down to the local T-Mobile store and say, I've got this really ancient SIM. Can you please replace it with a new one? And boom, I was done. But there was a little bit of panic there as we were trying to figure out just what the heck was going on.
Well, we finally figured it out, though.
Yeah. And
well, those guys figured it out. You know, we finally narrowed in what the problem was.
Yes, and I'm glad we did, because Windows Mobile 6, actually, I loved having that when we were in New York. A couple of places that we visited while we were wandering around town were Nintendo World Store.
You went there twice.
And yes, mm-hmm. and the Toys R Us in Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at, I think, Nintendo World, wanted to go to Toys R Us, and had gotten a little bit turned around. And there's a really cool feature in the Windows Live map support that's built into at least this Windows Mobile 6 image. So you map a place. So you look up, say, Nintendo World. And then you want to find Toys R Us. But you know if you search for Toys R Us, it's going to bring up all these different Toys R Uses.
Right.
And you may not know which one is the
right
one.
It'll give you the one in Paramus.
Right. You can say, search for Toys R Uses near this other place that I already searched for.
Right.
So it will then find you the closest Toys R Us to the Nintendo World Store. That was handy. I wound up using that several times.
All right.
So.
I actually, when I was in New York, and I actually asked you this. We have not talked about this. But when I was in New York, I was IMing you, or we were talking about, because my a Nespresso machine.
Oh, yes, yes.
Remember
yes.
We were talking about this?
Yep.
So I think I'm going to get a Nespresso machine, which is...
It is the rage in pod-based espresso right
yeah.
now.
It's big in Europe.
The thing is, espresso pods, they're not fresh. They're not fresh. They're not even freshly ground. I mean...
I'm just telling you, I'm
too much of an espresso.
Yeah, you're not the right person to have this conversation about.
No. I look at them and I go, wow.
How much did you spend on your espresso machine?
With or without the grinder?
With, out the door.
Okay, well, there's the espresso machine.
Uh-huh.
There's the grinder.
Right.
There's the extra portafilters. There's the tamper. There's the knock box. Probably about
$1,700. $1,700?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not into
it. It's so totally worth it.
Yeah, but you know what? When I get up in the morning, I'm in a coma. I don't drink coffee normally, but I like espresso.
Right.
So I want to be able to hit a button, pull it out, and done.
And I used to do that, too. I had a super automatic espresso machine for a couple of years. But once you get turned on to what really good espresso tastes like, you can't go back.
All right, well, I'm going to come over to your house.
Where do you... I mean, you get pods, and you buy coffee anywhere. I have my espresso beans shipped in from Chicago. They ship them the day they roast them that day. Ship them the same day they're roasted.
You're such a coffee priss.
Black Cat Espresso is the bomb. It is the best.
Well,
stuff
ever. Anyway, I'm gonna probably pick one of those up. So we'll have to have a bake off.
I'll kick your ass.
Okay, well, I'll just give it a try. Okay. And a lot of people emailed me when I was talking about the Nespresso last week. So that's one thing I'm looking at. All right, well, we're gonna wrap it up now because I got work to do. So
what?
Do you have anything you want to
do not?
Do you have anything you want to say before we wrap up?
So, another New York story?
Oh. Yes.
Carnegie Deli.
Great
place.
So,
we had talked about the fact that I'd been to the Carnegie Deli in the Mirage.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the real thing. It was right by the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Actually wound up going there twice. Oh, my God. The food was mind-blowingly good.
Yeah, of course it is.
Oh.
It's the quintessential New York deli. Why wouldn't you like it?
It was one of the nights that we were there.
Did you get a knish?
No, but we did have latkes.
Oh, okay.
But one of the nights we were there, it was 3:30 in the morning. We're both wide awake, and we're both hungry. So I walked the block and a half over to the Carnegie Deli, got takeout. Oh, that was so good. I got one of those giant bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches. It was just
at 3 o'clock in the morning?
3:30. It was to die for.
Good.
And I went to the Strand. I love the Strand.
Which is?
The Strand is, I think, the largest bookstore in the United States. It's certainly one of my two favorite, along with Powell's in Portland. And downstairs, they've got all those reviewer copy books at half price. I spent like a couple hours down there
and
shipped the whole stack back.
And it hasn't shown up yet, has it?
It should show up in a couple of days.
But what did show up, what I would like to talk about is what did show up.
What did show up? Oh, yes, yes, yes. I finally got my Matrix Ultimate Edition.
Right.
And I've watched... all three movies in HD. Wow.
Yep.
It is so mind-blowingly good. I mean, I'm not a fan of the second two movies, but in HD, I can watch them over and over again.
Yeah.
They looked so
Did you pick
awesome.
Anything up in, you know, when you were watching them that you didn't pick up the first time?
You know, I think I will next time, but this time I was just kind of sitting there
Enjoying
away.
The beauty?
Yeah, I was just like, wow, that's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I wasn't actually looking, you know, in depth at what was going on.
Right. That's cool.
There's some new HD DVDs out. They're starting to, there's a nice steady stream going. I need to go shopping.
I got Lost in Translation.
Oh, and?
Oh, love it.
Awesome. Yeah, okay, I need to borrow that.
Just the visuals. I mean, Tokyo, it's just as I remember it. It really is.
Speaking of Tokyo, you know what would be really good in HD? Really good Godzilla flick. That'd be awesome.
Well, I don't know. They shot those on probably like 35 millimeters, so I don't know how they'd blow up. But it would be interesting.
You could do a great compilation of, you know, Godzilla, Mechagodzilla, and some
other
things.
All right. We're going to wrap it up now. All right. We got to wrap it up now. So I want to thank my friends at Centricom.net for providing MajorNelson.com with a secure and assured hosting environment, and CashFly for their caching services. They're responsible for you getting the show each week, in addition to E, who's coming and sitting in on it. So this is Larry Herbeck, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading the show. Have fun, play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint, and I'll talk to you soon.
Goodbye, everybody.
All right. We'll see you. You want to come on again, E?
I would love to come on again.
All right.
We need to tape the next one live from my house after the espresso cook-off.
All right. If you want E back on, send us a message. I'll talk to you later. All right, after show, and we want to talk more about the espresso.
I can talk for days about espresso.
I looked at all the espresso stuff. It's kind of cool.
It.
I'm going to bring in the little book they sent me.
If you're not an espresso snob, they're very cool. If you get hardcore about your espresso, like the way we are about games, then you can't.
I've had it in Barcelona. I've had it in Germany. I've had espresso, you know, in Europe.
Right.
And it was as good as this stuff.
No.
I got to try yours.
No. I mean, seriously. Like, for instance, the beans.
Right.
When you're grinding them, and you want to grind them no more than 10 minutes before you make the espresso, the beans should not be more than 2 weeks old, as in how long since they've been
I understand.
And the pods are, they grind them, they seal them in the pod.
Yeah, they're hermetically sealed.
It's not the same.
All right. You know what? I have an open mind.
Okay.
I have an open mind. I don't know. We'll see.
Trust me. It's just like good beer. I mean, it's like, for some people, they're perfectly happy drinking,
right.
You know.
No, you're right. I totally get
MGD,
that.
Bud, whatever.
It's a taste.
And that's fine.
It's a taste.
But once you get into microbrews and you start really appreciating it, coffee is the exact same way.
All right.
There's a particular blend that I buy, and it's very, the beans actually are very chocolatey, and you can almost make a mocha without chocolate syrup with these beans.
I'll try one
phenomenal.
Of those. I like chocolate.
Oh, I love this stuff. So.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so maybe we can get you back next week. We got to play some Shadowrun.
We need to play some Shadowrun. If we're actually going to do the PC versus
360
thing, I've
got to start practicing. You know what? I do need to do that. People have been asking me about that, and I didn't talk to Mitch about that, but I was talking with Rich Wickham about that. And we got to do that.
Well, we need to find a team.
Right.
We need to look around here, get some people.
You know who will play?
Who?
Knuckles Dawson. He's always playing that.
Yeah.
David, stop playing Shadowrun. That's all I'm seeing you play, man. So yeah, we got to get him on the team. We got to get some folks. We got to get a team together, and then we got to find. More importantly, I got to find some PC people that are playing this game.
I bet we can. I bet once we have a team together and we practice, once we put out the call, we're not going to have trouble finding people.
Yeah. All right.
There will be a team that will be
all
ready
right. So Shadowrun, Shadowrun Showdown coming soon,
or maybe not so soon, but coming.
But coming, yeah. Really, hopefully, sometime in the summer.
Yeah. Right.
That's the end.
That's it.
That's it.
Oh man.
All right. Let me. Where do I press stop? Where's the stop? Here it is.